Matthew 28. Okay. I decided to just fix this teaching under understanding the gospel late hour. That was 2:12. So I was looking out for under what topic I should put it, because I've been thinking about the topic to put it for quite some days now. Hallelujah. So we're going to put it as understanding the gospel. This should be series 4. And also I discovered that we don't have series 3 on the website. So I'll do my possible best to, I have it on my system, so I'll do my possible best to ensure that it's out today. So make sure you get it. Hallelujah. Listen to series 3. That should be section 1 to section 8. I will think section 8, but section 1 like to section 8 is like section 1 to section 9. If you know what I mean. Hallelujah. Section 1, just put it section 1 to 9. And it's a pick up from some of the teachings we've had lately. I'm going to pick up a lot of things and then it will form the basis of several things we'll look at too. Hallelujah. So what I will do is that it will pick it up from our last TRC, which I don't know where Pastor Dixon put the kept the messages. Hallelujah. I can't find the message, but he will sort that out. So we'll pick it up from the last TRC we had last year, and because during the last TRC we discussed on the gospel, some bits of the gospel. So I'm using understanding the gospel because it fits well to understanding the gospel, and also a bit of revelation of God, but not about it. Hallelujah. And also much more on the series we started, that was last year, on what was that series again? God's plan, purpose and pursuits. That was just everywhere. Hallelujah. So we'll also take it up to from where we stopped in GPLR. So if you're around for GPLR, we'll just be a continuation, a kind of. We'll pick it up from those places. Hallelujah. And all together, they will now form, it's like Pastor is rearranging his notes, something like that, a kind of. Hallelujah. But they will now reform the basis for some teachings we'll have in the course of the year. Like teachings like universalism. Is it universalism now, or what did I even call it? I gave it a name. Sorry. Universalism, answering questions in our world today, concept of sin. So this will form that basis that we need. Hallelujah. It will form the basis of how we're going to read as we get to study those things, and also how when we get to study the books of the Bible. So you see, this year we're having a whole lot of teaching sections. Hallelujah. A whole lot of teaching sections. So I hope you are all ready. Hallelujah. It will form a whole lot of basis. So that's what we're doing. So next week we'll have a longer time. So today will be an introduction in the introduction. You understand what I mean? This, like I said, it will form an introduction to a lot of things we're doing. So it's an introduction to the wider introductions we're looking at. Glory to God. So just putting it there, leave it there, understanding the gospel for it to fit there. Hallelujah. To fit there, because some of our emphasis will be on the gospel. Hallelujah. And that's what our emphasis will be like, though, on the gospel and also on the local church. So it will fit in. Hallelujah. So Matthew 28, where I ask us to open. Matthew 28. From verses 18, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power, that's word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am is with you always, even to the ends of the world. In Mark 16 from verse 15, said, and Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Say, and this sign shall follow them that believe. Say, in my name they will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. And we saw this, and you saw this from how we looked at last week. Hallelujah. Something again that I must not skip is that we'll also take it up from where we stopped last week, Sunday service. We'll take up some things, because if this teaching, if I pile up everything I have for Sunday service, you might not round up by next week. I wanted to round up Sunday teaching by next week. So if I don't push some into what I'm teaching now, we'll break it into ABC. Hallelujah. So it's a pastor's job, so that's what I've done. So we'll pick up some things we said on Sunday. Hallelujah. On apostolic order, the apostles' order. So we said, when you look at Matthew 28 and Mark 16:15 from last week, we said this will be a summary of what Jesus instructed. Hallelujah. Within the 40 days, right? That will be a summary of what Jesus instructed them within the 40 days. His instruction within the 40 days. Hallelujah. And in that instruction, we said there are things to look out for in that instruction. The first thing to look out for, we say, is the word go. Look at Matthew. It says, go ye therefore. That word go. We say that word go is the believer's everyday instruction. The one who is born again, who becomes a disciple, he receives that as an instruction. The believer's everyday instruction. Hallelujah. This is the mission for every believer. Going. Hallelujah. Our mission is to go therefore. Hallelujah. Go. Amen. That is an instruction that is ageless. An instruction that is timeless. An instruction that is not bound by time. That's what I mean. So therefore, the believer is a man on a mission. I love what I used to say years back. I say, I'm a man with a vision, a man on a mission with a vision, so I don't end up in destruction. Hallelujah. So the believer is a man on a mission. And the mission here is not the mission to acquire wealth. No. It's the mission of God. Hallelujah. So the believer is in the mission of God. Hallelujah. The believer is in the mission of God. And then last week we looked at another key area. We said, first of all, we took note of the word go therefore and the word nations or the word world. Nation, ethnos. We looked at that, ethnos. Now many people will tell you ethnos is for the Gentiles. No. Hallelujah. No. It is for people of the same tribe, right? The same tribe, the same tongue. Hallelujah. People of the same profession. A nation. Hallelujah. People of the same tongue that have the same ideology. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's used for people like that. So watch the center word. It says, go ye into the world. Go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation. Nation, right? Right? He came to them in go preach the gospel to every creature. Right? Hallelujah. So you see that something is very delicate. That is world, nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and why is it? Why is it this way? If you look, I even look too, that repentance and remission of sin will be preached in his name in the, where? Across the nations. This is that nations. Hallelujah. In Acts 1:8, he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witness of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, etc., the uttermost part of the earth. Did you see that? So that means the gospel is for the whole world. Are you following me? The gospel is for the whole world. It's not limited to any class. It's not, the gospel is classless. Everybody like that. is not for any class, it's not for any age, it's not for any gender. Are you hearing me? It's not for any, it's not for a specific people or a specific nation. No, the gospel is for the whole world. How are you following me? The gospel is for the whole world. Every man's world. Right? And we saw last time that when Matthew now uses the word make disciples, Matthew, we saw the class of people that they became disciples of Jesus, right? We saw Joseph the rich man of Arimathea, who himself became a disciple. Matthew 27 verse 57. He became a disciple. He's a rich man. Did you see that? If you get to Matthew 13:52, it says every scribe which is instructed. Did you see that? Right? Every scribe. So we find scholars. Did you see that? So rich men, scholars. In Acts 14:21, we discover that everywhere they make disciples in everywhere. That means it is not limited to a certain set of people. Glory to God. Are you following me? So let's move a step ahead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said Matthew deals with what? The word disciples, right? We have the word Matthew from another word Matthew, right? Hallelujah. And we said the word Matthew is used for one who is given to learn. And in learning, he relearns and unlearns, right? So we find learning, relearning, and unlearning in discipleship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Mark's focus was on the entry into it. So let's see. Luke was a bit more detailed, like we said last time. Luke was a bit more detailed than Matthew and Mark, in the sense that he's the one that tells us that Jesus is reading from the 39 books. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He makes us see Jesus reading from Genesis to Malachi. Look at Luke 24 from verse 25. He met his disciples on their way to Emmaus. And verse 25, he says to them, O fool and slow of heart, O fools and slow of heart, to believe in all the prophets that spoke. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verses 44, he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled written in the law of Moses and the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened his ear understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. I said, thus it is written, and thus it be of Christ to suffer. It be of Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, on Sunday, we dwelt on verse 46 when he said, thus it is written. We said when he uses the word it is written, grapho, the word used for it is documented. So the question you ask yourself is, where is it documented? He has already shown you he's reading from somewhere. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. So when he uses the word grapho, we saw the fact that grapho is used for what? The 39 books. In John 5 verse 46, he said, if you believe Moses, you believe before he wrote grapho. Do you understand me? Now he's used there. We saw some other places where the word grapho is used. We also say that if you look at Romans, that should be Romans 14, if I'm not mistaken now. Just a second. I'm going forward to come back. Okay. Just give me some seconds. Sorry. A minute. Okay. Romans. I called Romans, right? Okay. That should be Romans chapter. Okay, I'm there. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, that's Romans 15, 4. You have the word grapho. You say whatever, you say whatsoever thing were written afore, or were written aforetimes, were written for our learning. That's the word written. Now he now calls it scripture in the same verse, that we through the patience and comfort of graphe. Did you see that? So grapho, graphe. So it's used for scriptures. Genesis down to Malachi. That's the word. So that means what Jesus is saying is, you will find the same instruction of going to preach the gospel, just be of Christ who suffered and rises from the dead authority, and that repentance and remission of sin will be preached in his name in the nation. Now you find what Luke is making you see, or what Jesus is saying, is the fact that you would see the same instruction among the nation, beginning at Jerusalem rather. You see the same instructions within the 39 books. Can you see that? So when it says it's written and it beholds Christ, it means you'll find it within the 39 books. That same instruction. Are you following me? Hallelujah. You find it in the 39 books when you read together. Very important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we looked at that last week, and that was where we were. We'll continue from there tomorrow. But just a bit away from that is where we are today. So Luke is showing us that Jesus is reading from the 39 books. Right? Right? Genesis down to Malachi. And it's called scriptures. That's what we say. It's called scriptures. The 39 books are called scriptures. Graphe. We just looked at the word grapho right now. Graphe. In John 5:39, he said, you search the scriptures. And what does he call scripture? There's something I'm going to say today. there's something I'm going to say today, and then I will still have to build on it in subsequent teachings though. Hallelujah. But you know, when Jesus refers in John 5:39, when he refers to scriptures there, he wasn't talking about the 39, but he was referring to what? Referring to Moses' writings. Genesis down to Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses down to Deuteronomy. So he refers to, that is to say, he was specific. And how do we know he was specific? Look at what he said afterwards. Right? What he said afterwards was concerning Moses. Hallelujah. So he recalls Genesis to Deuteronomy, calls the scriptures. So you search the scriptures and then you think you have eternal life. Are you following me? In that Mark, in that Romans 15:4, where we read, we've seen that, you see, that we, whatever thing were written afore, were written for our learning, is it that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures. Do you see that? So what do we call scriptures? The things that were written afore, which is what Genesis down to Malachi. Are you following me? Are you following me? I don't want to be too much in a rush. 2 Timothy 3:15, it tells Timothy, it says, and from a child, he said, you've known the holy scriptures, the reference in the 39 books, right, which are able to make thee wise. Do you see that? So the 39, they say all scriptures, that is past graphy. Why the scriptures in verse 15, that is the word grammar, content. Hallelujah. Something you've looked at before. Look at Galatians 3 verse 8. Galatians 3 8. In Galatians 3:8, Paul will say, he says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. That is Genesis 12 verse 3. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He said the scripture, referring to Genesis. Did you see that? The scripture. Hallelujah. So the word, so this Galatians 3:8 is something we have to look at in this teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you follow me. Amen. So we will then look at this. So scripture is what we call Genesis to Malachi. We also say they can also be called what? the law and the prophets, right? The law and the prophets. So the Old Testament book is called the law and the prophets, or the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Luke writes like this, he writes for you to see something. What is he writing for you to see? He's writing for you to see that instruction. That is making you see that the instruction Jesus gave within the 40 days the instruction Jesus gave within the 40 days are instructions you will find from the Old Testament books, Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he said, go preach the gospel, go make disciples, that will be an interpretation of the 39 books. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have in my notes. So what it implies is that we would find instructions about the gospel in the Old Testament book. Also, we will find the preaching of the gospel there. And what the response of the gospel should be. Hallelujah. We'll find it in the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The writer of Hebrews will say it this way. In Hebrews chapter 4. That is teaching, we'll have a longer teaching meeting immediately after CRC on spiritual growth and the leading of the spirit. So we'll have a lot. We'll have teaching meetings. Just prepare your mind. Sometimes it'll start on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, we have church. Those that are doing church in Ebeda will continue. They will join us on Saturday. Hallelujah. We'll have Friday, Saturday, and then maybe Sunday morning before service. Yeah. We shall teach you, God will teach you. Hallelujah. Amen. We teach you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Up of Jesus. It's not Satan. You're even putting for name Satan. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Glory to God. Hebrews 4. God. When I look at my timetable for what I need to teach this year, it's quite bold. Yeah? But I hope to get to Galatians. I have faith in Galatians. But there are a lot of things I need to teach before I get to Galatians. Okay. So, Hebrews 4:2, we were here on Sunday. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Were we here? Okay. So, it says, for we which have believed do enter into that rest. As he said, I've sworn by my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished on the foundation of the world. Say, for he spoke in another place of the seventh day in his wife, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Hallelujah. So, the writer of Hebrews makes us see that the gospel was ministered to them in the wilderness. Say, the word was preached to us as well as to them. So that means, what was preached to them and what was preached to us, there's no difference. Hallelujah, it's the same gospel. Glory to God. Just that one was preached before time, while one was preached at the fulfillment of it, of that I was preached before time. But we'll look at all that as we continue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So further study will make you see that the gospel being ministered to them wasn't one off. That is, it was not just ministered once. No. Further study, as we will do, you will see that the gospel was ministered to them consistently. Hallelujah. Children of Israel, you will see that it was ministered to them consistently. Right from Egypt to the wilderness, even when they entered the land, the gospel was still preached to them. We'll see that. Hallelujah. And you know, their response from Egypt to the wilderness was the same. The same. Hallelujah. Was ministered to them, and their response remained the same. Rejection. Hallelujah. They rejected. Glory to God. So it wasn't one of. So that means that their rejection too was not one of. We'll see that shortly. Hallelujah. Their rejection was not just once. No, it was just once. They just rejected one. No. Hallelujah. If they rejected once and then all through scripture they were called disobedient, then that means there's a problem. I hope you're following me. Are you following me? It was continuous. See, they were overthrown in the wilderness. It was a continuous rejection. It was a continuous disobedience. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll see all this in this study. Hallelujah. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at how Paul will put it. I'm trying my best to run away from the Old Testament books in this introduction. So I will dwell here. I want to prepare us to go there. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10. Look at how Paul put it. Are you in 1 Corinthians 10? Okay. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye be ignorant of how our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul, when he says they were baptized into Moses, you know their identification with Moses in the wilderness. Now when he says spiritual meat and spiritual drink, spiritual meat, drink, and spiritual rock. Now, this is Paul writing with imageries or using figures to say the same fact, the same truth. He has expected that you read from chapter 2 when he spoke about spiritual. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 2, if you look at verses 4, he called the information, look at what he did in 1 Corinthians 2:4. He calls the spiritual, or rather, he used spiritual drink, meat and rock for information of the spirit. That is the gospel. Look at chapter 2 verse 4. He said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but with a demonstration of the spirit and of power. So he has called the preaching of the gospel what? Spirit. Right? In verses 10, he says we've received the Spirit. 10 into 11 and 12. So we've received the Spirit. So when he gets to verse 14, he now calls spiritual with spiritual. Spiritual things with spiritual. So the spiritual will be the man in Christ, which we'll now find in chapter 3, right? Right? In chapter 6, sanctified, right? So spiritual. Then the information of the Spirit, information in the spirit, which is the gospel, right? He calls, information in the spirit or spiritual things, he now uses it for the gospel, right? So when he now said spiritual meat, spiritual drink, spiritual rock, he needed you to have seen that he was talking about the gospel. Hallelujah. So when he said the rock that follows them is Christ, see, you will not see, Paul isn't saying there was a physical rock that was following them. There was no rock following them. Do you know what I mean? Like physically. So, to make you see that Paul was writing in figures. Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. But there was a miracle with rock twice. Right? There was a miracle with rock twice when water came out of the rock. Hallelujah. So that would be Moses using the rock to figuratively talk to them concerning something, which we yet see. Hallelujah. Again. But that was not what Paul was pointing to, even if that would also be in the background of what he's saying. Hallelujah. Hope you are following. So when you have spiritual meat, you have to go back to, was there meat there? In the wilderness they had meat. Right? Right? Was there spiritual bread? If I Okay. Did they have bread there? They had spiritual bread too, right? Paul didn't speak about it, but we had Jesus talk about it, right? Right? Did they have spiritual drink? Yes, they drank, right? Jesus spoke about it, right? Come on. Come on. When Jesus was talking about his blood, right? His body being the bread, right? And the bread of life. The Father ate bread in the manna. Ate bread in the wilderness. Where are they? Right? Come on, contrast. Right? Those are things we will look at. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you see those things there. But, you know, Paul now brought out spiritual. The way you know that those things were, and he said it followed them. Did you see that? He called it spiritual and said it followed them. But we didn't see rock following them. We didn't see drink following them. Or I don't know, did you see drink? Aha. Did you see Pepsi? Come on. Did you see Pepsi? We didn't follow them physically. But Paul said there was a drink that followed them. So they had miracles of this thing, and Paul said, no, it was what you had as the miracle was pointing to something else that followed them. And he said it was spiritual. And they said the rock is Christ. We can also say the drink and the meat was Christ. Hallelujah. But now, coming back again is, why would Paul say it like that? Oh yes, we'll see that in the coming sections. Hallelujah. Why would Paul say it like that? But was it, so what Paul is making you see is that something followed them. So they had something around them consistently. I hope you are following me. They had that spiritual rock, water, and before I call bread. And meat following them. That's what Paul said. He said it followed them. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. It was with them. And from what we've read, that will be information. Right? Glory to God. So that's why I said the gospel was not what they heard one of. Paul said it followed them. Do you understand me? Glory to God. So when you now had the miracle of meat, water, and the rock, they were pointers. Remember I've told us that miracles point to the real miracle, right? Miracles point to the gospel. So they were pointers to what was with them all along. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And something that I was showing us, was it during during Believers Convention, was that they experienced real healing. So healing is not vague. Miracles are not vague, no. In other words, they point to the gospel, they experienced it. Did they drink the water? They drank it. Hallelujah. But Paul is saying, no, what followed you was not that water you drank. That water you drank was a miracle of a water that was with you. All along. I hope you are following me. But did they experience the miracle? They did. They didn't eat the spiritual bread. They ate the manna. The miracle of it. They saw it. Right? Right? Did they eat the meat? They saw it. Hallelujah. Meat just dropped on their hand and they ate it. They saw the miracle. Hallelujah. But Paul is saying that miracle was pointing to something that they had all along. Hallelujah. And he calls it the gospel. So when he uses the word rock, that is the word Petra. Petra in the Greek. It's used in Matthew 7:24-25. Look at Matthew 7:24-25. How do you say it? It says, therefore, the whatsoever heareth this saying of mine, the sayings of his is the gospel, right? And does them. He say, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house on a rock. Do you see that? The rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Did you see that? So it is for that which is founded on the truth. Hallelujah. To believe on the truth. Is this for what is unchanging? Hallelujah. What stays forever? Hallelujah. In Luke 8, it's used negatively. In Luke 8, 6 and 13, for what is stubborn. But, you know, context is key. In Matthew chapter 16, it's used for the truth about Christ. When Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He says, so flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, see, but my Father who is in heaven. He says, upon this rock. So the truth about the gospel, right? The truth about the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he says the rock is Christ, it shows you the gospel was all they had. They had the gospel all along, rather. Hallelujah. So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The gospel was all what they had all along. So when you get to verses 5, and it says, and with them, God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 5, it shows what their response was all through in the wilderness. It says, that was what followed them all through. And their response all through was with unbelief. That God was not pleased. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is a word we explore soon. Hallelujah. God was not pleased. Glory to God. When he says God was not pleased, it's something, I said I'm running away from going down to Genesis, but it's something you'll find in Genesis 4 when you see Abel's offering. I showed us that on Sunday too, right? Was it on Sunday? Abel's offering? Okay, that was believer's conversion, right? So you find that in Abel's offering and Cain. One was, God was pleased with Abel's offering, right? And wasn't pleased with that of Cain. So it's unbelief. And I said what happened there was unbelief, right? God respected. So it's unbelief. So when he was not pleased with them, that was unbelief. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Which the writer of Hebrews will call they hardened their heart. In Hebrews 3:15. They hardened their heart. And that hardness of heart was not one off. It was consistent. Hallelujah. One way to know it was consistent was even with Pharaoh. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 6, Samuel unified Pharaoh and the children of Egypt. I mean, and the children of Israel in Egypt. Their unbelief. Right? Right? Come on. Their unbelief. He unified them in 1 Samuel 6. Now, when the writer of Hebrews uses the word hardened for unbelief, harden not your heart as in a day of provocation. Now, when he uses the word day of provocation, is the 40 years in the wilderness. All true, because of the day of provocation. Paul will call it the tempted Christ. Did you see that? The tempted Christ. That is unbelief towards the gospel. Now, when the writer of Hebrews now uses the word harden their heart, that word hardness of heart is not used for what is done one off. No, it's consistent. So, for you to also see, it's from Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't harden his heart once. No, it was continuous. Moses didn't just go to him, and every time Moses came to him, let the children of God go. No. That was all. Moses kept ministering to him, and every time he ministered and there was a miracle, to point out for what he said, Pharaoh hardened his heart the more. Did you see that? Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. Glory to God. Amen. I've heard someone say, no, Moses went for a diplomatic meeting with Pharaoh. Well, if you look at it in the secular way, it makes sense. But Moses, you should also understand the fact that Moses is first of all a preacher. Hallelujah, before a national leader. Hallelujah. So his diplomacy will be through the gospel. Remember I showed us something, Moses will, I'm saying it as if I was there, but likely that was what he did. He will preach to Pharaoh, you know, he has a ticket to government house. Moses had, he was raised up there, so he has license to enter Asurok. Hallelujah. So he had license to talk to Pharaoh. You know, GC with him, he was preaching, right? And you're letting them now live like this. Yeah. You want to use, let the Moses don't preach and I say, okay, you know, this redemption I'm telling you about now, this redemption that God will do, it's like, you know, light out of darkness. Okay, it's just like now the children of Israel are here. And it has been said in the scriptures, you know, by our Father, right? By our Father, that they will be led out again. So, you know, it's just like you not allowing them to go. Just ask them to go. And, you know, that will be a miracle of it. I hope you're following me. So, Pharaoh's response will be, you are preaching to me, now I'm going to allow my slaves go. Do you know that? So in his head, we're like, you want to judge me? Do you know that? So something like that. So he said, no. If that is the gospel, I don't want. Something along that line. Hallelujah. I was not there, so I can't say. Something along that line. That is how you will play. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Pharaoh's hardness of heart too was not one of. Glory to God. So when we get back to Galatians 3:8, where we just read, is a scripture foreseeing that God will justify the heathen. Preach the gospel to who? To Abraham, saying in thee shall all, Hebrews 3:8, the nations be blessed. Now he uses the word when he says, preach the gospel beforehand. Is the word pro euangelizomai. It means it's from a compound word of pro and euangelizo or euangelizomai. Okay, euangelizo, which means to preach. I mean, the word pro is before. Now, the word euangelizomai, it means to proclaim a news. I don't want to go beyond that, but to proclaim a news, a good news. But I'll say some things about it tomorrow in church. Hallelujah, I'll say some things about it. That word pro, I mean about that word euangelizo, and euangelizomai, the three words. Hallelujah, so we'll talk about it tomorrow in church. But it means, when you hear pro euangelizomai, it means to proclaim a good news beforehand. Hallelujah. And what will be this good news? From Exodus 6, from verse 1 into 8. Exodus 6, 1 to 8. This is God to Moses. This is, okay. We read down to verses 8. I said, we will still read it. So, let's just be calm. So, the good news or the news will be God's redemption beforehand. Did you see that? God's redemption beforehand. God's redemption beforehand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hope you're following me. Just something that we would look at when we begin to discuss the concept of sin, is the fact that when we're going to, you know, some people have preached it. In fact, if you listen to Understanding the Gospel 1, I said something, I'm saying this, that anybody that is listening to this, that have listened to series 1, would make little adjustment. Hallelujah. Now, I've said that before, you know, there's just this notion that people have in their mind that the reason for the gospel is because of sin. Somewhere it's hiding in your mind that there is sin somewhere. So God now has to bring the gospel. Right? 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 Yeah? But if you look at the scriptures well, from Genesis 1, what do we have first? There was no mention of sin when the gospel was ministered. I follow you. Amen. So it's something we would have, we will answer it in Understanding the Gospel. And then we will answer it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sin was not mentioned when the gospel was ministered to Adam. There was no mention of sin. If I were here, heaven and earth, did you see sin there? In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth because of sin. No. Are you following me? So that notion of you are a sinner. How are you following me? And then you now need the gospel. Glory to God. So there's one fire somewhere. There's, you know, I hope you're following me. Just somewhere, just subtle around you, or around our head somewhere, that there's, when you want to preach the gospel, there's one fire, there's one sin, and then the solution will not be gospel. Hallelujah. See. One side. Hallelujah. We're driving there. Hallelujah. But the first time we find sin mentioned was not even in Adam. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness, was there sin in the background? Huh? As in with Abraham? No. So therefore, it's something that we would not have to investigate. And that is why I just wanted to see the reason why we have to treat teachings like these before we get to concept of sin. It's not everything we understand is there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's something we yet look at in the course of this year. Surely. Hallelujah. All together. But trust the process. Hallelujah. I don't mean that tomorrow you are now going to do evangelism. I say, no, the problem is not sin. You are doing evangelism. I say, ah, you know, sin, there's nothing like sin. You are a joker. Hallelujah. Just preach the way you've been preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how did I say there's nothing like sin? I want you to tell me that the first time you hear the mention of what? The gospel, was it? Did you hear sin? I'm not telling you you should change what you are preaching. I hear of it. There was something I was studying some days back. That was like 3 or 4 days back. And it's just something that Pastor Shega has always said. But I just have to take my time again to study on it. And it's on the issue of sacrifice. You know, when, you know, most times, I've heard it from Pastor Shega like twice. So, you know, just along twice, I'm like, this is it. But, and then this was, the last time I heard it from him was 2020, but I've heard it before then. So I'm like, okay, let me, I was doing a study. If my study was in, I was at Genesis 4, what I said last story, but I was on Genesis 4 and I was doing that study. So, you know, what dropped was on the fact that the first time you hear sacrifice done, we're not sacrificed for sin. Amen. Amen. Up of Jesus. It was not sacrificed for sin. There was no sin around. In fact, when you saw when you saw sacrifice, was sacrifice as service, as worship, worship of God. So the first time sacrifice is used in scripture was for worship, not for sin. Do you see? Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So, you know, this will actually help the way you study scriptures or the way you see things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, when sin was used, for, I'm not saying that there's no action called sin. No, I'm not. Like as a conduct. I'm not saying there's no conduct called sin. But the first time you will now find the word sin used for K, it was used in the rejection of the gospel. In fact, it was used for rot. You are quiet. Amen. Amen. Up of Jesus. So most times I tell people I said this to some few people around me, just very few. Right? I don't even know, they are not even up to 2 again. They've reduced. Hallelujah. So I say that to the whole Lord and I say it to myself too. Obini his amen. I say, you guys know that I can be in a rush. If you know me before, I can rush for Africa, right? But Obini his, if I tell you Obini his, I know the reason why. So then you jog, run and lano to clean what when you have done some funny things, to clean it sometimes can be grievous. Some of you needed another rebaptism to remove Yahuwah, Yahushua, Eloha, Elohim from your head. Right? In a rush. Amen. Amen. Some people even think tomorrow they no longer call their pastor a pastor, they go, man of Eloha. Emui. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's come back. So most time, just be calm. Very well. You're not rushing to anywhere. Especially when you know you have a local church. You are growing together. Don't rush. Hallelujah. Don't rush. Hope you are hearing me. Don't be in a rush. And you, that you are a member, don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush to want to know, Pastor, can you just tell me the things you are learning now? You will enter gutter. Because the things your pastor is just learning now, he's not perfect. If he gives it to you, you will stew for 1 year. So Allah him know it well. Hallelujah. Allah him understand it well. It might take him 2 years. Allah. I hear you. Glory to God. By taking 5 years, Allah. But you are rest assured that when he's teaching you, it will be the best meal you've ever had. Glory to God. Amen. You know, sometimes there are some things that until we teach it to you, maybe you've even heard it from Pastor Shebi. You follow your pastor, you go to Believers Convention. Maybe there's some rhema you heard. Mercy word. You know, until your pastor that teaches you, maybe like 2 years later, you say, that was what Pastor Shebi was saying. That is just it. That is the difference of local church. Are you following me? That is the essence. But there are some things that I will say here. That until your cell leader, maybe in another 1 year, now says it, this will go past. That is why you have to trust the process. Are you following me? Trust the process. So that what I'm saying here, you will not understand it in another 2 years. How about you remember some of the things you have in SOE? People will not even remember Jack. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, there are some things in that SOE that everybody, if you know you have that material, return it. You know, your spiritual growth will shorten. Return the material now. I've used time to collect Pastor Wisdom's material. Everybody should submit their material. Amen. Amen. Read that material. Because there are some things in that material that I will teach in some years to come. Yeah? But I will re-teach you well. Amen. And that material was too quick. It was too quick. So there were a lot of half-baked things that are there. So return it. Half-baked. It can blow your spiritual life. So return. Amen. Just do a return it. Yeah? Return it. It's just like some people that listen to, that read the book Understanding the Gospel, Understanding Authority. How many people have that e-copy? Understanding Authority, you have it? You have it? It's still available to you today. This guy is strong. You listen to them, you read that book very well, and you've been listening to, you've been attending CRC, you discover that I'm picking out some silent points from that book, and I'm re-teaching it well. What is the teaching we're having in CRC? You know, Understanding Authority. It's not just a teaching, but teaching lengthy. And I'm collecting a lot of big mistakes there. But that book is a rush. Are you following me? be rush. So don't rush. Hallelujah. Don't be in a rush. I'm telling, saying it to myself. I say to myself always, don't be in a rush. There's some things I want to teach last 2 years. Don't be in a rush. Rapture is not happening anytime soon. Amen. So let's continue. Away. Sir, what do you mean by rapture is happening anytime soon? Let's continue. Okay, where were we? Exodus, right? So the good news will be God's redemption, right? Beforehand, right? Right? Now, listen to something I have to say. So God's redemption. So when Moses preaches to them, what would not be the example of that redemption? How they will come out of where? Egypt. Right? Right? So now, what they now had in their mind was a national, was a national redemption. Do you understand me? So many of the Jews, years after, and after, now had national redemption in mind, because whenever there is, listen, it's something we'll see in years to come, but whenever there is now a captivity, whenever there is a captivity, they always hope for it, because reading Moses, they know that there will be a prophet, there will be the Messiah, right? There will be the Christos. Hallelujah. Right? So now, the question will now be, what do they know about the Christos? So many of them will think the Christos, when he will come, will be a national leader. Now they had in and they were going in and out of captivity, in and out of captivity. Now, whenever they come out of captivity, it will be a hypodegma for what? The redemption. Hope you are following me. Now, they had that national, that there will be a Christos, who will do what? Who would now be for us a national leader that will redeem us once and forever, that they will no longer go into any captivity again. That's also the way they had that somewhere at the back of their mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And look at in Luke 24. You know, even the disciples of Jesus had that somewhere. So when they saw Jesus' miracles, signs and wonders, he reminded them of the prophet, reminded them of Moses, right? So look at what they had at the back of their mind. Oh, we have another Moses. Somewhere it was just sticking there. Look at Luke 24, 21. This is Cleopas, his disciples. Look at what he said. He says, remember in chapter 16 of Matthew, they've had Jesus commend Peter for calling him the Christos. Did you see that? So they've seen that, right? In John 1:45, we saw Philip and Nathanael. Nathanael referred to Jesus as the one whom the prophet spoke of. John 1:45, whom the prophet spoke of, right? Say this, come and see he whom the prophet Moses and the prophet spoke of. It is Jesus of Nazareth, right? I follow you. Now, listen though. So there's just, okay, this is the Christos, right? Now, look at what they now had in their mind, verse 21. It says, we trusted, talking about Jesus, it says, we trusted that it was he who should have redeemed Israel. Did you see that? They still had that national redemption. Did you see that? Within Israel. And beside all this, this is the third day since these things were done. Did you see that? And what did Jesus call this? He calls it unbelief. Verse 25, all fools, sloth have to believe. All the prophets have spoken. So he calls it unbelief. Hallelujah. But no doubt, they knew from scripture that there would be a Christos. Did you see that? Even the woman in John 4, verse 25, she knew, the Samaritan woman, she knew that there would be a Christos. Did you see that? From the scriptures. She knew. Hallelujah. Yes, their interpretation was wrong about who the Christ is. Hallelujah. Their interpretation was wrong. Glory to God. They were looking for a national redemption, a political leader. Even Jesus' disciples, now he's done teaching them. They now believe the gospel. Oh, yes, Father, we believe the gospel. We believe. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 6. They now asked him, will you at this time? You know, it was just somewhere. Okay, now, okay, that means you'll be both our redeemer, right? From bondage, right? Spiritually, right? Right? To life. So, we do at this time. Now that we are saved, we are this time now give to us the kingdom of Israel. They are still going again politically. And Jesus said, no, it's not for you. That is, Jesus' response to them is, no, that is not my call. Are you following me? Hallelujah. How we are seeing that? That is not my call. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, that's not his call. So, if you go back to Luke 24, that unbelief in verse 21 will now make Jesus say this in verse 26. He said, open up the Christ to suffer this thing and enter into his glory. Right? He said, he now teach, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I skipped some things, but because that is not, I don't see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what would Jesus do? In answering their unbelief, Bible says he will not explain to them scripture because that was a wrong interpretation of scripture. You see that? Because what they had in mind was that the Christos, whom scripture speaks of when read together, right? They had in their mind that he would be to them a national leader. Glory to God. Glory to God. And Jesus says no. What did Jesus now do? Luke will say he will now, what Jesus did with what Luke would describe as he expounded diamineu. He explained to them in all the scriptures. So Jesus will now start from Genesis down to Malachi, right? Right? He will explain to them the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That word diamineo is a word that is used to explain language. Language. It deals with language. Diamineo. So that means in Bible interpretation, language is important. We'll see that. Look at Paul in Acts of Apostles chapter 13. Verses 27. Look at what Paul will say. Acts 13:27. He says, for they that dwell in Jerusalem and rulers, because they knew not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. So he uses the word voices. That word voices is the word that implies language. They knew not the language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The language of the prophet. Hallelujah. So the word diamineo is language. So that means every time a preacher is teaching or is reading the scriptures, he is crossing the language barrier. We'll look at that next week. Hallelujah. We have a whole lot to cover next week. Let me be fast as we round up this. Hallelujah. Let's get back to verse 27 of Luke 24. He says, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expanded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. You know, when Luke writes like this, Luke is giving Luke is writing an interpretation. I don't want to use the word interpretation. But this is Luke's commentary of what Jesus did. And he said it was concerning himself. Did you see that? But that's not what Jesus' words were. He says, ought not the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory. So that means what Jesus did to them was to take them through specific events in the 39 books and explain it to them concerning what ought not the Christ, the Christos. So that means he would take out specific events right? And he would explain it for them to see that the Christos would have, or were said to them concerning the Christos' suffering and his entering into glory. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So that is what Luke will not give commentary on and say concerning himself, because Luke is writing knowing the fact that this is the Christos. Did you see that? But then when he was explaining to them, they didn't know that that was the Christos until he was done teaching, that their eyes were opened. Did you see that? Hallelujah. I hope you are following me. Uh-huh. So when he uses the word entering, is the word eisetroman. It's used for where one has never been before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he explained to them about, so he picked out specific, take note of that from scripture specifically. So he did the same thing in verse 44 to 45. Now I'm not speaking out specifics, now he taught them all together. But it will be the same diamenio. I hope you are following me. It will be the same diamenio, but this time he will not teach specific events concerning specific things. No, he will teach wholesomely. Hallelujah. That will be a wholesome teaching for 40 days. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what will he do? Look at verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might understand. That is what sunyemi. That is to bring together events. To bring together events from different worlds and different times. To bring them together. Did you see that? So he brought them together that they might understand the scriptures. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And it's something that we say when you bring together theology, the arrival point is where Christology. Hallelujah. So the arrival point of my theology will lead to a Christology. We actually said that during GPLR, right? The arrival point of my theology will be Christology. So what Jesus has done, just like he in verse 26, where he picked out specifics, his arrival point was on the Christos. Right? Come on. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. So the arrival point of theology will be Christology. And I remember during Revelation of God, I said when your theology doesn't lead to Christology, you have idolatry. I'm strong on that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, therefore, we can say diamenio will also imply to bring events from different worlds and time together. So a diamenio is not just interpreting language, but it will bring together those events. So a diamenio will lead to a sinyemi. I hope you are following me. Hallelujah. It will lead to a sinyemi. I can now see it. Relate events in different worlds together. Hallelujah. Because something we'll see in this study is the fact that you must learn to start reading scriptures like a conversation. Hallelujah. In different worlds. We'll see that. Hallelujah. Different words. You have different words, so you learn to read them together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's as if, I'll put it the way Pastor Shege will put it. He will say, it is as if Moses is saying something. Where Moses stops, you now get to Isaiah. It's as if Isaiah is responding back to Moses. Hallelujah. It's just like you see it, so you read scriptures in a conversation manner. Hallelujah. That was part of the reason why I wanted to tag this teaching understanding the Bible. But I'm like, no, that is too ambiguous. Let's just pat the head. Let it enter the gospel. Hallelujah. So we'll pat it like it will fit understanding the gospel. Yeah. What is your degree? Let me stay with understanding the script. I mean understanding the gospel. Edge of. Amen. Now my days may be long. Okay, let's round off. Let's round this off. Okay. So therefore, like Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, a preacher or a Bible student must be diligent in dividing the words of truth. Did you see that? with diligence, because it deals with interpretation. Do you see that? It's interpretation. So I must be diligent. I was sharing with a pastor some, that should be last week or thereabout, concerning interpretation, and we're looking at it from law. That should be Pastor Garba, right? But you know, I was talking to her about interpretation. Laws are laws, judicial precedent. You're the one. I'm not yet old now. Hallelujah. Judicial precedent and things like that. So interpretation is so before you actually interpret the law, I was saying something there, you have to do literature review on cases, and just, it's not for today. Hallelujah. So if you are not a good reader, you can't be a good judge. Hallelujah. Because before you apply that section of the law, there are a lot of things that are behind it. It's not for today. Hallelujah. So even me, I'm not a law student. So I'm just trying. Hallelujah. Just trying. All the small law that they taught us in school. Let's take it to work now. Hallelujah. Did you do law in school? Did you do law? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So interpretation. So you must be diligent in interpreting. So in Bible study, In Bible study, interpretation precedes application. You know, a lot of people just wonder, what is the application? I remember one time I was talking to my mom. Amen. I remember one time I was talking to my mom about some things from the scriptures. So I was explaining to her, okay. I guess I was explaining to her about Matthew 24. I was teaching her Matthew 24. You're like, that is rapture. I said, no, it's not rapture. Jonathan. So I was explaining it to her, showing her from scripture that Luke, Matthew 24, verse 12. Just was talking about what will happen to Israel afterwards and signs of the age to come. So I was just, as I was explaining to her, she was now like, okay, after all this teaching, she cut me short as a point. I said, after all this teaching, what are you trying to say? I'm like, understand what I'm saying, but let me interpret what Jesus was saying. He said, no. What is the application? I say, how? He said, at the end of it, I will not see going to heaven. You know, at that point, your bow will just be, all these Greek, I'm trying to show you, of not the Christ to suffer these things. You know, all this, everything just landed in, are we not going to heaven? <That's last. laughs> You know, she just like, see, she, the whole time, will you walk? I want to give me a cup. There was a time too, I was showing her something, she was like, at the end of it, all these things you are seeing, so, wait till the application.
You know, everybody, you just Jesus want to know what's the application. What's the application? Are you trying to say heaven is not real? I did say heaven is very real. Everything we are doing in this life, we will find ourselves in. That is all. She said, leave me a Greek, leave me a Hebrew. I don't want to hear. I'm going to heaven. Heavenly rays, I no go tire. So, anything you want to say, it is heaven. That is wonderful. Hallelujah. So sometimes when we get, I guess my wife has seen us argue. With my mom, I don't teach. I argue.
What's the application?
So, when we start like this, the first thing my dad would do is before go inside. Just everybody would just clear road. So we are talking. And I will start with, she'll be patiently listening to you, the way you are cutting through scripture. At some point, when she starts, saying, hey, wait. She'll be able to read. That is all.
Say no, that is not all. Let no one say no. Everything is heaven, everything.
Amen. Nothing weak there. I just say, ah, God. So these days I've been avoiding her. Hallelujah. But you know, you can't have application when your interpretation is not right. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. Because even Bible study is worship. It's worship. So that means, if my interpretation is wrong, my application will be wrong. And my worship will be wrong. So many a times you see people running for application. What's the application? What's the application? What's the name of the application?
Amen.
Okay, so quickly, when the interpretation is wrong, application will be wrong. See, there's no way your interpretation will be wrong and your application will be right. Your application will be wrong and your worship will be wrong. Hallelujah. So what I tell people is, or what I tell myself is, don't rush to the application. This will come very much alive when we begin to look at answering today's questions from the scriptures. We'll have a teaching series like that in the course of the year. Answering today's questions. Do you understand? We're going to answer a lot of questions in our world today. Hallelujah. So that's why I say we'll have a lot of teaching. So this will come alive. You discover that just a little misinterpretation of scripture, just a little can deal with a whole lot of your worship. One of the ones we'll look at in this teaching will be Sabbath day worship. Sabbath day. Some people keeping a particular day holy. Why didn't you go to market on Sunday? I'm going to go to market today. Sunday is my Sabbath. It's the Lord's day. I don't know how people say that. Sunday is the Lord's day. Do you understand? No, it should be every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So these are things we start looking, we're going to look at. Some people say it's Saturday. So Saturday don't do any work. They don't eat. You only eat vegetable on Saturday. Hallelujah. I hope you have already. We'll look at that in this video. So you discover that it's just wrong interpretation that is leading to a wrong application is not affecting their worship. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, in this teaching, I submit that the epistles written to the churches are interpretations, right? We all know the interpretations. But I submit again. I submit that the epistles, be careful. Hallelujah. Before I am misquoted, I'll say it to you. I submit that the epistles written to the churches are interpretations of the Old Testament books, but they deal more with the application of the 39 books to their audience. So the epistles to the churches are applications. Hallelujah. They are more of applications. Glory to God. Yes, they are applications. Glory to God. But they are applications because they were answering questions pertinent to their audience. We saw one on where? On how Paul answered the rise of feminism, right? The worship of Diana. That actually was what crept in Ephesus, yeah, feminism. You know, when Paul now said, in 1 Timothy 2, that should be 1 Timothy 2, he said that a woman should not usurp power over the husband. Hallelujah. You know, like I said, many people read that as a woman should not pray. That's 1 Timothy 2:10. So let the woman, verse 11, let the woman let her be silent in no subjection. I will not, he says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, not to, now that word teach is to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So that word usurp authority, like we said, is the word used for dominiere. It's just used once in the Greek. Authentitio. Hallelujah. Authentitio. It's used once in Greek. And it's used for dominiere. In fact, a root word from that word authentio, authentio, is the word that implies to carry ammunition. A woman, that was what was happening in their world. Hallelujah. I said, the woman shouldn't do that. Shouldn't carry arms. Shouldn't be domineering. Did you see that? Hallelujah. It was in Ephesus. The same Ephesus. Hallelujah. Because of the, you know, in Ephesus they had the worship of Diana, and then there was already a rise of feminism. Glory to God. So Paul was answering a question pertinent in their world, in their culture. Hope you are following me. And how will he answer? And in answering that question pertinent in their culture is reading from Genesis. Did you see that? Is answering that question from Genesis. So because the interpretation is right, hallelujah, the application will be right. Hallelujah. So when he says the woman should not absorb authority over the man, look at what he says next. He says, who was deceived? Look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 14. I mean, verse 13. It says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Did you see that? He's bringing order to the home. And he says, Adam was first formed, then Eve. That is, what Paul is saying, that we saw Adam first, right? We saw the man first before we saw the woman. Hallelujah. He said, and Adam not being deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Hope you are seeing that. Glory to God. So he said, hey, look at, so he's reading from Genesis. I said, look at what happened in Genesis. Glory to God. Look at what happened in Genesis. It was the woman. So the woman should not be dominated, but should be in subjection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that. And the woman being in subjection is not patriarchal. No. It's not. Because when you read what he says to the church in Ephesus chapter 5, he says submit one to another. Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not what patriarchal. So that would be an interpretation stroke application to what? Genesis. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and Genesis 3. Hope you have seen that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can, based on that application that Paul is using it for in Timothy, we know what the interpretation is. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. So, there will be no correct application if there's no correct interpretation. Therefore, a reader of scripture must seek to first, to interpret rightly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Must seek first to interpret rightly. And in interpreting rightly, right? He must find out what was in the mind of the writers when they wrote. That is interpretation. What was in the mind of the writers? That is a very important question you need to ask. You know, just reading 1 Timothy 2:11, a man, I will not allow that a woman teach, right? Nor of authority over the man, but should be in all subjection. Now, in interpretation, not today in my world, in our world, Paul has done an application, right? But today I want to interpret what Paul has done to our world. Now, if I don't get the interpretation right, I will get the application wrong.
Hope you get it.
Paul has applied it in his world. Now, reading Paul, right? Because what I'm reading from Paul is an interpretation non-applied. Right? Come on. An interpretation and apply. Now, in reading Paul, I am not asking myself, you know, in reading Paul, I'll have to interpret what Paul has said. Right? Right? And to interpret what Paul has said, I need to know what was in Paul's mind. Right? Come on. I need to know what was in Paul's mind so I can apply it to my world today. Glory to God. And in knowing what was in Paul's to read from where Paul is reading. We're coming to that some other time. That will be next week. Right? I need to know what Paul, where Paul is reading from. And also look at what was in Paul's mind when Moses was writing Genesis. What was in Moses' mind? That is interpretation. So the first step to interpreting is what was in their mind. Now if they were alive and with us, you know, you can easily ask them, sorry sir. When you wrote Genesis 1, when you write the 2nd Timothy, 1st Timothy, what was in your mind? You know, you can easily, once you see the author, you can know, right? What was in your mind? You know, you can get that. But today, the authors are not here. Only with their material, right? Yes, we want to know what was in their mind. Hope you're following me. We want to know what was in their mind when they wrote. That is the first step to interpreting. What is in their mind? Hallelujah. Because if you don't know what is in their mind, you will interpret it wrongly. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in knowing what was in their mind, the mind of the writer when they I must pay a lot of attention to a lot of details. Details like who was their audience. Like look at Paul. How do we know what Paul was writing about in 1 Timothy? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he was talking about what was writing to Timothy in Ephesus. Did you see that? So we know it's Ephesus. So who was his audience? The church in Ephesus, right? Just run down towards where, how we'll pick it up from next week. Who was his audience? The audience was the Ephesus audience. I mean, was the Ephesus audience. So the next question will now be, what was happening in Ephesus at that time? Do you understand me? What was happening in Ephesus? Then I will now ask myself, how does this writer use words? Do you get me? What was prevalent in Ephesus, right? Right? What was the language of Ephesus' world? How does the writer use this word? Words. Did you see that? These are very important details. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, how does the writer use his words? In their world. Glory to God. This will form how I will read. I will know what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. And with that, I will understand how they wrote. But also take note, I will also note that the writer of the epistles, when they wrote, their writings were shorthand. We'll see that next week. Hallelujah. Their writings they wrote as shorthand. They wrote shorthand of the 39 books. So they were interpreting the 39 books. So their words will find its origin in the 39 books. What are for in there? Will find origin in the 39 books. So the 39 books becomes the textbook of the epistles and the four gospels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, let me not get to this now. We'll do that by next week. So, yeah. Skip something. Oh, I knew I skipped something. Okay. So, their writings will be an interpretation, right? Or an application of the 39 books. So the 39 books will be the textbook, right? So that means listen. When I get there, I will look at words, how they use words in, like, how they use words will be how words were used in the 39 books. Where they quote, right? Where they quote a part of the 39 books they were actually reading. Glory to God. I'm talking about who? The writers. Right? So, rather than writing everything, they'll write in subjects. These are things we'll look at for next week. Hallelujah. They'll write in subjects. They'll write in summary. It will be shorthand. Hallelujah. So, their words will be found in the Old Testament books. Their words will be found in the Old Testament. So, to understand how they use words in their day, I have to go back and reread. Right? Essentially, where we will conclude on is on the word gospel. How would they use gospel? Will be how gospel was used in the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something that you will now see is that the word gospel in the Old Testament book was used for a warfare. Hallelujah. So that means when I read gospel in the epistles, I was reading the background warfare. Remember, they were writing shorthand. I hope you are following me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I have actually taken us towards my conclusions now. You know where my focus is. Hallelujah. The gospel and its warfare. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Let's be on our feet as we thank the Lord. Just thank you.